Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 17. Why don't we stand and go to verse 32. And we're just going to read six verses. We'll go to 37. I'll read the first verse. You read the next. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock.
And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him.
Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Let's pray. Lord, you know our hearts today. You know each one of us and what we need. We submit ourselves to your Holy Spirit. May he take this word and apply it to each of us. May you strengthen us. May you make us real soldiers. May you make us real servants. May God, we do your will. Have your way this day. If there's a lost soul in the sound of my voice, may that soul be convicted and saved. If there's a Christian that is burdened and not having success and victory in their life, I pray, dear God, you would move upon them and give them victory. We ask your best blessing on each of us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Be seated, please. This is one of the most famous stories. I was amazed. I was preaching. I think Brian and I and several others were going back up in a neighborhood over here, pretty close to the church. And I had a 16-year-old boy sitting on the porch. And I tried to talk to him and ask him if he knew any of the Bible stories. Know about David and Goliath? No, who's David and Goliath? He didn't know. How about Daniel and the lion's den? No, never heard about that either. That boy had never seen a Bible, never owned one, never opened it up, never been in a Sunday school, didn't know any of the great Bible stories. Now, I'm blessed. My old grandmother set me down every day and taught me a different Bible story. All the time of my youth, till she died. She was a great Christian, sweet Christian lady, and she thought these kids ought to know the Bible story. Well, you got one here. You ever heard of David and Goliath? Well, Goliath is as tall as this wall. That's his height. And he's a big man. Who would want to go up against him? Nobody. And he's out there defying the two armies that are on two mountains. And there's a valley down between them. And back in those days, what Nelda was singing about, some people believed there were gods that were gods of the mountains, but they couldn't have any power down in the valley. And there were gods in the valley. They didn't have any power in the mountain. But I tell you what, the God we have, he's got power anywhere. You don't have to worry about it. God Almighty is God, period. There are no other gods. He is God, and he should be recognized by God. You ought to know he's God. You ought to surrender to him as God. You ought to pray to him as God every day, right here this morning. You ought to be praying to him. At any rate, there's war between the Philistines and the Israelites, just like it is over there today. Do you realize one of the biggest places of just war continually is the Middle East? They're just all the time. They're fighting over that land. They're jealous over that land. Now, the Philistines are fighting the Israelis. And they're on each mountain looking at each other. And they go down and fight ever so often and whatever. And then this every day, this big Philistine, Goliath, 10 foot tall, heavy equipment, a servant carrying a shield out in front of him, comes out and he yells and he defies the people of Israel. And he says, send somebody to fight me. If you can beat me, we'll be your servants. And if I win, you're going to be our servants. Easy way to settle a war. Well, just to take your goal, your man. And man, they're all scared to death. Now, the average Israelite was not that big a man, but the king that we have here is Saul. He's almost 7 foot. He's a head taller than anybody else around. Saul's a big man. Saul was a great soldier in his day. Saul scared. Saul, experienced soldier, king of the Israel. He's not going to go down there and fight Goliath. And the great soldiers they've got out there, they've got some good fighting men. They've got some really soldiers. They're afraid to go down. David is the youngest of 8 sons of Jesse. The youngest. And probably the best looking. Says he was ruddy, sort of red-haired, sort of red-faced. And he was of a light complexion. And he wasn't a big man. And he's the youngest. He's 17 or 18. What's he doing? He's keeping his father's sheep. Now he's got 3 older brothers and they're in the war. They're soldiers right out there. And his dad says, you know, they might need some supplies. You know, we need to get them some supplies. And so he comes up and he visits his brothers. And he is there when Goliath stands up and challenges the people of God. We're being challenged right today. The government of the United States is challenging the people of God. It's been done throughout history. There are people who always challenge this book. They don't like what it says. They don't like how it says it. They want to change it. They want to remove it. Well, here he is, Goliath of Gath, a great, famous soldier, won many, many battles. He's not a kid. He's not a young man. He's an experienced soldier that's 10 foot tall. Good night. How would you like to meet him? Well, they didn't want to meet him. Well, while David's talking to his big brothers are the soldiers, and he's back home taking care of his dad's sheep. Doesn't sound very exciting, does it? I think of what I'd have been doing. Just what David was doing. Every day he's got his sling and he's going on. He keeps throwing that sling. He gets better and better and better. He got nothing else to do. Do you know what you have to do with a bunch of sheep? Not much. It doesn't take any great imagination. You don't have to really think through a lot of things. Where's the water? Where's the grass? Can I move them here or there? What am I going to do? I'm going to throw my sling and play my lyre or my guitar or my whatever I've got. He was a musician. He was a poet. But he was also very good with that sling because he had fun. Now, one of my ideas of fun in life is shooting at targets. Just shooting at targets. Yeah, I like that. I still do that. Trinidad calls me up or I call him up and say, hey, let's go shoot and then we'll go eat. Yeah, let's do that. We have a good time. We go out and put our earphones on and we just shoot till we... Well, you know what David was doing? He's picking up. This is a rough stone. Let's see how it flies. Well, it buzzes a little bit. No. This smooth stone out of the brook. Woo, that's a lot better. Anybody got a slingshot? I do. When I walk at night, I carry a slingshot, and I don't carry rocks. I don't carry smooth pebbles. I carry marbles. Marbles are great with a slingshot. They're smooth all around. They go straight and whatever. And you ought to see the dogs move when I pick one up about midnight. You don't have much problem being challenged. Now, I don't know about the people that find the marbles in their yard the next day. I'm not sure they understand where they came from. They don't have any little kids playing around there. But anyway, I know where they came from. I carry marbles for my slingshot. David was good. Have you ever seen on the internet the sharpshooters? Have you ever heard about a girl named Annie Oakley? Shooting a cigarette ash off at about 30 or 40 feet of even one of the kings of Europe. And her husband stood out there every day hoping she wasn't mad at him. Because every day their big show was he had a cigarette with the ashes out here and Annie Oakley with her gun would shoot the ashes off. Now that's good. Nobody in here can shoot that good, I don't think. I'm way out of my league. David was good. He knew what he could do with that sling. He knew he could hit what he aimed it at. He was good. Why? Because that's all he had to do all day long was throw that stupid sling and watch those stupid sheep and feel like I'm the baby of the bunch. I'm the little boy out of eight. But he was good. He comes down here and he visits his brothers. And Goliath walks out and said, "Hey, you bunch of scum. I defy the armies of the living God. Bring a champion out. Get me somebody that can fight me. Somebody that can stand up to me. You beat me, we'll be your servants." "Ah, but if I beat him, you got to be our servant. We're going to stop killing people. We're going to try to settle out." How many times have you thought it'd be a good deal just for the two generals to go out and shoot it out? Well, that's probably sort of what he was proposing. And David is listening to this. He's young. He's 17, 18 years old. His older brothers, they're trembling in their boots too. And so David begins to complain. "What's going on here? How can that uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies of the living God? Where are the men? Where are the men to stand up in faith? Where are the men that will stand up to this heathen?" And his brothers are, "Well, man, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a kid. You're just taking care of sheep." You ever felt that way? Like you're not doing very much and that you're looked down upon because you don't have a real big important position? And that, no, that's the way it felt. And he said, "Where are the men? Who's going to stand up and fight that guy? You? 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 No, man, nobody wants to fight that guy." And he said, "I'll fight him." Yeah, 17-year-old kid. You know how you feel. You feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof. When you're 17, you're not 10 foot tall and you're not bulletproof either. You find that out after a while. Who is going to stand up and fight this man challenging God's people? David said, "I will." Somebody said, "Well, we got one. I mean, he's a youth. He's sort of a good-looking youth. Doesn't look real tough. You wouldn't worry about him in a dark alley. Sort of good-looking kid. You'll fight him? Let's take him to Saul." Can you imagine the fear that must have been among these people that if they got one 17-year-old kid to say he'd fight him, they would take him to the king? That to me is an amazing thing. that they even took him to the king. I mean, you could look at him and tell, shoot, this nice guy's not going to win on world wrestling. So they take him to Saul. And he says, I'll fight him. Saul said, you're just a kid. And he's been a warrior since he was a kid. And he's a great big strong man. And he's been in war all these years. He's an experienced soldier. I'll fight him. Why? Well, he said, you know, while I was keeping my daddy's sheep, a lion came, took one of the lambs, hauled it off, was eating it. He said, I went and took that lamb out of the lion's mouth, and the lion came after him, and he grabbed him by the beard, and he killed him. A bear came, did the same thing. You want to fight a bear? You want to fight a lion? I mean, when I pet my dog, I have a dog that does not have a mean bone in his body. He's just strong. I pet him with welding gloves. Because he just playing with me, he'll tear me all up. What do you think a lion will do? What do you think a bear will do? They tell you don't feed the bears in Yellowstone. Why? You're going to get hurt. You're going to lose an arm. You might lose your life. And he tells Saul, in protecting my dad's sheep, that's not a big famous job, you understand? That's not a job you would recommend for a soldier. In protecting my father's sheep, I killed a lion and I killed a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will die just like they did. Whoa. Well, Saul is impressed. Okay. You ever heard of a 17-year-old brag? They do it all the time, don't they? 17 and 8-year-old boy, we brag and we're so big and we're so smart. But Saul's listening. And he said, okay, you can fight him. Here's my helmet. Here's my shield. Here's my sword. Here's my stuff like this. And he got David in it. It dwarfs him. Saul's 7 foot tall. David's probably 5'7" or 5'8", something like that. He's sitting here in all this army. He said, I can't go with this. I haven't proved him. He wasn't a swordsman at this time. He was not a swordsman. Evidently, he was not a one that shoots arrows. He said, I haven't proved him. But what he did have, he said, I'll just go with what I've proved. And he said, what's going to happen is God is going to give this Philistine to me because he defied the armies of the living God, and I'm going to kill him. I love the story. You walk out there, and you get close together. You got this 10-foot hulk. Look at that. Look at that wall. That's 10 foot. You got a guy that big, and he's big. He weighs something. He's not just tall and skinny. He's a soldier. He's strong and mean looking and scarred maybe. And here comes this kid with a staff and a sling. And he looks at him and he says, am I a dog? You're coming out with a stick? I've got a sword so big it's hard to carry. I've got a shield so big I got another guy to carry it for me. I got mail. You know what mail is, like the knights had. He's covered in mail. And I always think of it like this, that he had a helmet that had a face thing. And so David, as he was going down there, he crossed the brook. And he picked out 5 smooth stones. And I've heard people criticize he didn't have enough faith because he picked 5 stones. Well, you know, Goliath had 4 brothers. Just wanted you to know that. He had 4 brothers. And I'll tell you what, when you come into my house and I pull my .357 Magnum, it has 6 stones.
And I'm not a bit ashamed to come at you with 6 stones. He had 5 smooth stones, and he's got them in a scrip, his shepherd's scrip, a little pouch that he's got hanging on his side. And he's a kid, a good-looking little kid. He doesn't look like a soldier or a fighter. He doesn't have tattoos all across his face. He's not accused of doing drive-by shootings. And the giant, he's looking out through that helmet, and he says, "What are you doing? Coming out with me like a dog with a stave, a stick, and a few rocks?" And David took one of those rocks out, put it in his sling, and ran towards him. And he's swinging that thing. And when he threw it, it buried itself in this fellow's skull. Just as good as a .45. Just as good as a .308. It buried it right in the head. David runs over to him. He has no sword. He doesn't even have a big pocket knife. And he grabs his sword, that great big sword. And he pulls it out and he cuts his head off. And he raises that head. You want to mess with David? No, you don't want to mess with that good-looking kid. You don't want to really mess with him. He slew the giant. He slew the giant. Man, the Philistines began to run. And the Israelites ran after them, and they slew many of them that day, and they took much spoil, and they won a great victory because of a 17-year-old good-looking kid that believed in God, and that had experience. And what we were reading, "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth." He said, you might have killed that lamb, but you're not going to eat him. Stopped him right there. Look at verse 37. "David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto him, go, and the Lord be with thee." Experience. How much experience do you have with God? David had some experience. Now, no doubt David had to be brave, and no doubt David had to be able to use the tools that he had. But David, when he attributed his victories, he said they were God's. God is what he said, delivered me out of the lion's hand. Pause. God delivered me out of the bear. And God will deliver me from this Philistine. Now that's experience. You know, experience is a beautiful thing in the Christian life. You need to know God answers prayer. You need to know that God is paying attention to me. God is watching out for me. God cares about what happens to me. That's experience. Have you ever prayed and had God answer your prayer? If you haven't, bless your heart, you need to start praying more. Believing more, thinking more, trusting God more. He said, God delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Do you have anything in your life, in your history, in your background that says, God did this for me? I've got a number of things. If you think back, you just might have too. Praise God. Wonderful experience. Because you know what that'll do for you? That'll give you faith for today. How come David could walk? He doesn't even seem scared. We have no indication that he had any fear at all. He had perfect confidence, and that's faith. God who delivered me will deliver me. God who answered that prayer that day and saved my son, he'll hear my prayer today, and he'll save me now.
That's faith. Faith is not just blind faith. Faith is belief in the promises of God and with the experience of knowing God has done it before. God has done it before and He's done it for you before. What a beautiful thing. Faith is not just taking somebody's word for nothing. Faith is believing the promises of God. How in the world can you walk by faith in this life if you don't even read His promises? Why should you read your Bible? Because just about on every page, you could find a promise. It's a promise book. You talk about promises, this is a promise book. Now, what happens? Can you collect on the promise if you have faith? What's the biggest thing in the Bible? Love, of course, God. Faith. God does not bless all the poor people of the world. Did you know that? God does not hear and answer the prayer of all the bums that are walking down the streets trying to make you think they're Vietnam vets. Some of them may be, but if all you got's a piece of cardboard that says you're a vet, that doesn't necessarily mean much, does it? It's believing the promise of God. You take a promise, you put your finger on it, you may memorize it, you might put it down on a card, 3x5 card, and put it on the dash of your car or on your refrigerator and says, I believe this verse. I'm claiming this verse for me. I'm coming to God and saying, this is what you said, Lord. Read the request, the prayers of Abraham when he's praying for Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot. That's just a beautiful story. He asks, if there be 50. He's talking to the Lord. He's praying. If there be 50, will you spare it for 50? Yes. How about 45? How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? When did God tell him no? When did God tell him no? He didn't. Abraham quit praying at 10. God never said that's all you can have. I wonder, would God gone down to 4? We never know, because Abraham didn't pray for 4. Abraham, I know exactly how he felt. He said, Lord, please don't get mad. Lord, I mean, you know I'm out of my territory. I'm asking something that I don't necessarily have a right to ask. Would you? God said, yes, 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 yes. Would he say yes to you? Oh, he will. God will say yes to you. You're in here today and you're not saved. You got sins that are unforgiven. You have a broken relationship where you have not made things right. If you ask God to forgive you, would he? He will. You're running. You're miserable. You don't have comfort or peace in your life. Would God give you peace? Yes, he would. Why don't you take his promise? Why don't you today say, this is the first day of my spiritual life. God, will you forgive my sins? Yes, he will. God, will you restore the joy of my heart? Yes, he will. God, will you change my life? Yes, he will. Why don't you pray? Now, you can sit and listen to me talk to you about whipping giants and praying and trusting, and you can walk out that door with no more hope than what you had when you came in. Or, you can say that's true. The word of God is true. God is a faithful God. He's one that answers prayer. He's one that changes things. Yes, that's the kind of God we serve. What kind of giants do you have today in your life? Might be a giant of sickness. Might be a giant of brokenness. Poverty. You may have lost your job. You may not have got your retirement. What are the big things in your life? What is the number one biggest giant that is 10 foot tall and formidable, unbeatable in your mind, in your life today? We all have some, don't we? You're going to tell me you're sitting here and you don't have any troubles? No, you got troubles. You got hopes and dreams and you got troubles. You got sin. You got problems in your family. You got all sorts of big giants. They scare you? Oh, they do me. I don't like fighting giants. What is your giant today? Can you bring it to God? Can you be an Abraham and say, God, peradventure. God, what if? God, would you? You think he would? Why don't you try? Why don't you get a little experience with God? Instead of just looking at everybody else's experience and thinking about everybody else's experience, why don't you personally start putting a test on God Almighty? Will he keep his word? Oh, he will. He will. He keeps his word. He answers prayer. Can you imagine that the governor of Texas would pay attention to your request? No. Your chances of even getting to him are slim and none. But you can get to God. God's in your home every day. God's in your car every day. God is working in your life. God is right here in this room. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You're in the presence of Almighty God. You're in the church of God, and that's not this building, that's these people. You are the church. Not church buildings. That thing's not holy. It's carpentry. It's a slab. It's air conditioning. None of that's holy. You're holy. You know why? You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only thing that makes you holy. You're not good enough. Did you ever think you weren't good enough to pray? You aren't. Did you ever think you're not consistent enough to come into the presence of God? You aren't. Did you ever think you hadn't paid enough attention to God all this time and God knows it? Yeah, that's you. But what does he say? My house shall be called a house of prayer. And the giants in your life, God can slay. He sure can. Yes, he can. Why don't you try God? Why don't you test God out? Why don't you spend the next year of your life believing God for a promise? Maybe for a friend to get saved, a brother to get saved, a mother, a father to get saved, somebody to begin to hear the word of God, or anybody, maybe just pray anybody and go out on the streets of San Antonio and see if you can find one. You know what? The woods are full of lost people. And they're not coming to church. Most of them. They're staying away. They don't think you have anything. And maybe you don't think you have anything. Oh, but my friend, you're in the house of God, a God who answers prayer. Can you imagine that you could actually walk into the presence of Almighty God that spoke this world into existence, who put a brain in your head that has more connections than the whole universe of stars? Wow. There are whole living things inside of you that if they died, you'd die. You're amazing. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And that God that could do all of that would pay attention to your request. Who are you? Who are you to come into the presence of Almighty God? Well, bless your heart if you're his child. You're his child. I got 5 children. I am not the father to my dog. I'm not a pet parent. I love him. I have a lot of fun with him, but you know what? I got a 22 bullet that can take care of him. I don't need to pay $200 to have a shot stuck in his rump. You know something? I know the difference between a dog and my kid. And when my kids speak, I listen. When you speak, God listens. Isn't that amazing? Why would God pay attention to you? Tell me that. You just look at yourself, and why would God pay attention to you? Because He's God and He said He would. Isn't that good enough for you? You know what He said over there in Philippians? He said, let your requests be made known unto God. Your request doesn't necessarily have to be a spiritual thing. It doesn't have to be some mighty thing, some big thing. You got desires, you got a burden on your heart. Why don't you talk to God about it? David walked out in faith. Now, do you have enough experience with God to have faith? I hope so. I hope you've got enough faith to trust in God whenever you come to a problem. But He's got the answer to your problem. You don't have a problem that He doesn't have the answer for. If you're lost, He can save you. If you're in sin, He can bring you to repentance. If you're sitting around in pride, He can humble you. If you don't have some of the things you want, why don't you ask God for them if they're worth asking for? Right? Experience. In verse 45, interesting thought. Then said David to the Philistine, thou camest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. How about that for faith? How about that for confidence, faith in God? You know what David was doing? He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God. Well, bless your heart. That's what we talk about out sign out there in front of places, this place. We believe in the name of Jesus. We believe prayers get answered in the name of Jesus. People get saved because of the name of Jesus. People have an entrance into God because of the name of Jesus. I was a missionary in Guatemala, and I helped an old man and woman who had their trailer all tied up for them by the customs officials between Guatemala and Mexico. And they were so thankful. They were very thankful to me. And they wanted to know where I was from. I said, San Antonio, Texas. Oh, you got folks living there? Yeah, my dad lives there. Why don't you call him? Tell him you saw me down here. Because we didn't have very good phone calls when I was a missionary. They came up. They called my dad. We met your son on the border between Mexico and Guatemala, and he helped us out with the aduanas and whatever. And my dad said, come on over. They parked their trailer and their car in my dad's driveway. My dad took them out to eat, and my dad put them up for the night. Why? Because they knew me. I was his son. And his son told him, look him up. Give him a phone call. Let him know. And you know what? My dad did. I didn't call my dad. I didn't have any contact with him. I didn't say, please help these people. They just knew my name. They knew they had met his son a long ways away, 3 days away at least. And daddy just put them up and took care of them, bought them dinner and sent them on their way. You ought to have read the letters that I got back. Thanking me and whatever, you know. Well, it was my son. It was my son. You talk to my son. I haven't talked to him in a while, but you talk to my son. That's the way God is. Do you belong to God? Man, I mean, tell him about it. Talk to him about it. Pray about it. I know the difference between being a son and being a nothing, a nobody. A stranger. I know the difference. David had some confidence. You know something? I think it's one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. Look, if you will, at Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that's the Holy Spirit, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Where'd you ever get a better promise than that? You talk about a promise, just look at that and put it up against the giant that's in your life. Whatever that big problem is that's facing you today that you can't get around, now unto him, that's God, that is able to do above, he's able to do all that we ask. He's able to do above all that we ask. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ask. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You can't pray too big to tax God. Oh, my kids can ask me for things that I can't do. No, I'm sorry, I can't do that. But God's not that way. You can't pray a prayer so big God couldn't handle it if he wanted to. Wow. Look at Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. A person with this kind of faith gets made fun of sometimes because they do brag a little bit and they do say some things saying, I can do it. But what's the difference in bragging and faith? Well, I'll tell you what, it's whether you can get your prayers answered, whether you're real. Anybody can brag. But what he says here, I can do all things. How? Through Christ. Through Christ. Not that I can do them all, but Christ. Christ is the power. Christ is what you need in your life. You need to put him first. You need to today commit your life to him. You need to take that big giant that's sitting up in your face, that's staring you, and you see it's unbeatable. And you need to take that and say, Lord, will you help me? Lord, can I come to you? You just don't know what you might find. I've been counted dead 3 or 4 times. My kids are getting ready to bury me. They're thinking, oh, he can't last much longer. And I'm still here. I've been occupied a lot with death the last couple of years. First my wife's and then mine. Contemplating mine. What do I do? How much longer am I going to live? What should I do? I've been contemplating all that. But you know, I got a switch of mind recently. And I'm contemplating life. I'm going to live my life to the fullest every day the rest of the time I have it. And maybe you ought to do the same. Maybe you ought to do the same. Take a look at the giant that's facing you. And bring him into the hands of God. Let God take care of him. And you don't know what could come out. If you're here and you're not saved, oh, today's the right day. You don't ever get saved tomorrow. Nobody ever gets saved tomorrow. They get saved today. When you get saved, it'll be a today. And if you don't get saved today, you don't have any guarantee. If you're not saved, we've got time. I'll spend time with you. Bill will, so will Brian, other brothers in here and sisters would be glad to talk to you. If you're not saved, if you're not sure that if you go out here and end up in a car wreck or a motorcycle wreck on the road going to lunch and you die, you're not sure you're going to heaven, you ought to need to talk to one of us. You really do. You got troubles? Take your troubles to the Lord. There's not a giant big enough but what God can take down. You don't have to worry and fear. And if so be, Christian, that it happens that you don't have a tomorrow, well, you got heaven. And an awful lot of tomorrows there. But you never know what God might give you today. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for